15 seconds. Tonight out there, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds, and southwest 3 feet at 16 seconds with patchy fog. Sunday, northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west 5 to 15 in the afternoon. The wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds, and southwest 3 feet at 15 seconds. For your KSEO King of the Hill traffic update, nothing major to report at the moment. If you see something out there, 475-1080, let me know. And for current temperatures, it is 57 degrees in Watsonville, 56 in Monterey, and in Salinas, it's 57. We are also at 57 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. Official time, 10:06 and 55 seconds on this Saturday, August 21st, 2010. Up next, Saturday special. KSEO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Hey, Nikki James.
Hello.
I was worried for a second that your computer needed minerals or something. It got off to a false start, you know, with Steppenwolf. What's going on there? Maybe it does need minerals.
Yeah, no, it just, you know, when there's too much going on, it's a computer. Computers whack out every now and then.
Oh, boy, I guess they sure do. How art thou?
I am good. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, the sunshine has been coming out at least part of the day.
Yes, which
the last
I'm
few days,
enjoying.
Which is a good thing.
Yep.
And the otherwise coldest, most frigid summer
Weird.
In Santa Cruz history. Anyhow, let's start the show officially, okay?
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSEO Radio.
Good morning, y'all, in KSEO land. MZ is here, welcoming you to hour number one of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Going to be a little different today. We're sort of excited because two titans in the world of health are going to appear for the first time together right here on our show. So stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
You've heard Dr. Wallach, haven't you? What do you think of him? Well, listen to this.
People don't know who Dr. Wallach is, and he is a fascinating, brilliant, interesting man. One of the most. This is a brilliant, innovative visionary.
That was Ben Fuchs, a nutritional pharmacist who doesn't care much for prescription drugs nor the medical industry, and who obviously thinks very highly of Dr. Wallach. And I think very highly of both of these brilliant and charismatic men. Well, guess what? For the first time in history, both Dr. Wallach and pharmacist Ben will appear together on the radio for a full-dimensional discussion on health, including its roots in history, biochemistry, and anthropology. Trust me, everyone, these men get it. They are fascinating, and all would be wise to listen to the next KSEO special when Dr. Wallach and pharmacist Ben interact with and react to each other this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Forever Proud to deliver world-class people and knowledge right to your ear radio, AM 1080 KSEO. Yo, pharmacist Ben.
Greetings.
You are there.
I'm here.
I was so nervous because the monitor wasn't working here. But anyhow, you're there. That's good. And I think our buddy Doc Wallach is here. Am I right, Doc Wallach?
You are correct. Good morning,
hey,
gentlemen.
Good morning.
How in the world? Let me explain how this whole thing started. Doc has been on with me on the Saturday special many times over the years. Pharmacist Ben, who has filled in for Doc Wallach for many years on the Dead Doctors Don't Lie nationally syndicated radio program that originates here at KSEO Studios. And Ben has his own show here on KSEO called The Bright Side on Fridays from 2 to 4 p.m., and a few months back, Ben became aware of two of Doc's most recently written books. One is called Immortality and one is called Hell's Kitchen. Ben is an avid, voracious reader, and he remarked to me that he was very impressed by these two books. And only recently he asked, hey, can you arrange for me to interview Doc Wallach on my show? And I said, yeah, I think so. And somehow it evolved into the two of them being on this show, on the Saturday special. So here, there you have it. Ben, let's see. Why don't you begin the interview with Doc right now?
Sure. First of all, thanks for being here, Doc. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation.
I've been following your work for many years, and I've been very impressed by your work for many years. And I don't think people realize what an eclectic vision you have about the health and healing process. And I think these two books, Immortality and Health Kitchen, really underscore your vision of convergence in the sense that you converge paleontology and archaeology and sociology and history with this intuitive understanding of how the human body works that can really benefit a lot of folks when they really get the message. How did you start to get involved in understanding how the human body works, going way back to the beginning, like from your college years, your childhood on the farm?
Well, yeah, I kind of figured it out when I was 9 years old. And from the time I was four, I had a facial tick and eyelid twitches, and it just got worse every year until by the time I was nine, every time my face would cramp up, it about knocked me down. It was just an awful facial cramp. And my mom took me to an eye doctor because she thought it was an eye affliction. And the eye doctor was a woman, and she looked in my eye and she says, well, the reason why he's having these eyelid twitches, she called them, was because my eyelashes were so long they would hit my glasses, curl back, and tickle my eyes, and that's what was causing the twitches. And she wanted me to use a Maybelline eyelash brush to retrain my eyelashes to be straighter. And I was just beginning to play sports. I only weighed about 94 pounds at that time, and I was playing sports with guys that weighed 200 pounds, and I could just see them pulling my arms off. I was sitting there playing with my eyelashes with a eyelash brush. And so I went to the school library, and I got a nurse's health book, and I began to look for eyelid twitches, and I couldn't find it, but I accidentally ran into cramps, muscle cramps. I said, well, maybe that's what it is. And I looked, and it said calcium deficiency, and I had remembered, gosh, every time I would tear the top off the bag of calf pellets to feed calf pellets to the calves, there was an analyses tag which listed all the nutrients in there, including calcium and copper and zinc and how many amino acids and how much in the way of ash. They called it ash, which is where they burn all the organic stuff and the minerals that were left. They measured how much was the ash. And so I started taking, after school, a handful of those pellets. And in 3 days' time, that eyelid twitch and that facial cramp that had been progressive and getting worse and worse for 5 years went away in 3 days. So I knew when I was 9 years old that there was something to this nutrition thing. And so from the time I've been 9 years old, I've been taking the 90 essential nutrients three times a day. And it certainly pays off. But the thing that really clinched it is I went to ag school at the University of Missouri at age 18. I finished ag school 2 years before I finished veterinary school. I kind of worked them concurrently. And my major in ag school was animal husbandry and nutrition. We learned that we could actually prevent and reverse and cure as many as 900 different diseases in livestock and laboratory animals and pet animals with nutritional supplements. I was very fascinated with that because of my experience when I was 9 years old. And so when I graduated ag school, I had 2 years left in veterinary school, but I was a graduate student at that point. And I liked pathology because there was always a finite answer to be found. So I began doing comparative pathology as a graduate student, as a sophomore veterinary student, and began to do human autopsies through the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology. They would send us material, and I would complete autopsies and tropical diseases and infectious diseases and degenerative diseases and poisonings and toxins and things in humans as well as animals. And about 1962, well, everybody else was gone for their summer vacation. I was the only guy there. I began to do these autopsies myself. Well, by the time November came, I was a pretty well-published comparative pathologist. Well, in early December of 1962, a guy came in with a pickup truck, and he dumped 50 lambs in my lab They'd all died. 500 lambs had died in one night on his farm. 500. And I said, well, did anybody else around you lose any animals? He said, no, it just happened on my farm. And there was no inkling. None of them were sick. I just woke up in the morning and 500 of them are dead. And so I did the autopsies on them, and they were perfectly clean, except they all had goiter. And apparently they had hypothermia, and they couldn't survive a cold night. So, well, what was the temperature? Well, it dropped down to 19 degrees and been running in the 30s until then. And so that precipitous drop in temperature, 500 lambs died of hypothermia. Well, why was that? So because they had goiter, 500 of them had goiter, they died of hypothermia. I tested their blood and their tissues for methemoglobin, which occurs when they're contaminated with pollutants like nitrates. And it was positive, and I had him bring in water from his well and from the feed, and sure enough, they were just loaded with nitrates. And I said, well, where'd you get nitrates? Well, I've been using the same well in the same fields for 25 years, no problem. But it turns out a neighbor uphill from him had put some high nitrate fertilizer in his soil, and it had rained and washed it all down into the guy's well and created this pollution. So I wrote it up, and it was published in national and international journals. And when Marlon Perkins and Barry Commoner from the Washington University, who's the head of the Department of Biology at Washington University, actually had run for president twice with the...
back in 1980.
Yeah, he was a libertarian. And he was a great guy. And so Marlon Perkins knew me because I had fed him all my papers that I'd written as a veterinarian, as a pathologist over the years. And when they applied for this grant, which followed a huge tragedy in Minamata, Japan, where mercury had been dumped in the river from local factories as a byproduct of their process and manufacturing process. And in a particular year, the temperature was right, and the algae picked up the mercury had been dumped in this river for years and years and years and bloomed, and the little fish ate the algae, and the big fish ate the little fish, and the people ate the big fish. And every kid, about 1,200 kids, born with terrible birth defects. Many of them died, of course, as embryos. And there were hundreds of people, adults, that died of this mercury poisoning. Well, that was the stimulus for Perkins and Commoner to apply for this grant. Well, they were looking for a pathologist who was both a human and animal pathologist, and Perkins knew me. So they called me back out of Africa. I was actually doing a project with white rhino to save the white rhino. There was only 250 left, and I caught 200 of them and sent them back to the United States. And before I finished getting all the remainder of the 50, Perkins had me come back and be the pathologist on this great project to do autopsies of zoo animals and people who lived around the zoos who died of natural causes, looking for pollution as a initiating factor of disease. And what I found after 20,000 autopsies, over 17,500 and over 400 species of zoo animals and 3,000 human beings, 10 million chemistries of blood and tissues and biopsies and slides, millions of slides of special stains, what I found was that except for incidents like that in Minamata, Japan, where there was mercury, which didn't affect the rest of the world but was a regional thing, and in India where several years ago that somebody knocked a valve off and they contaminated the river with cyanide and killed thousands of people, and here in the Gulf of Mexico, this oil leak thing has caused a lot of pollution problems. These are local and regional problems, but don't affect the people in the world because the Earth has a tremendous capacity to detoxify these things over time. Even the Exxon Valdez up in Alaska, everything's pristine and perfect again, which you wouldn't have ever thought they would ever recover, but it did. And the Gulf will recover, and the rest of the Earth will recover, and so on, because the Earth is a living thing. Well, what I found out was pollution was not a big thing worldwide and didn't impact every species if they weren't exposed to a local man-made disaster. But every species, whether they were reptiles like boa constrictors and alligators or human beings and primates or elephants and monkeys and rats and shrews and birds of all kinds, every vertebrate required all 90 essential nutrients, and a calcium deficiency in a human produced over 147 different diseases, and the same 147 different diseases would occur in the boa constrictor and elephants and zebras and exotic pheasants and monkeys and so on. And that was a revelation because doctors even yet today think most of these diseases are have a genetic base, which they don't. They're just simple nutritional deficiency diseases. And in the animal industry, we've eliminated those diseases simply by leveling the playing field by putting all the nutrients in every pellet that every animal eats, whether they're a laboratory rat or commercial food for dogs and cats or commercial food for laboratory animals or farm animals. We've eliminated 900 different diseases which still plague people. And so that set me off on a path to try and convince human doctors that the same thing would work in people. And actually, in that end, go ahead.
What we're calling diseases are really just labels for biochemical dysfunctions that are nutritionally based that occur across the animal spectrum.
That is correct. That's the short way of saying it. You've said it exactly right. And, of course, disease, dis-ease, is Latin for the body's not working right.
Right.
And, of course, every tissue, every cell, requires all 90 essential nutrients. And essential nutrients, by their very name, tell you that we cannot make them. We must consume them every day. Just like oxygen is not optional. You need oxygen. Water is not optional. And these 90 essential nutrients are not optional.
Right.
And doctors made a huge mistake. They trained everybody since the time you were kids in your first little health class and science class that you could get everything you need from your food by just simply eating well. Eating the four food groups, you could get everything you need. Well, that little sentence has killed more people on Earth than all the wars put together since the beginning of time. You cannot get everything you need from your four food groups. And a place like Somalia, where the average lifespan is 29, in the areas which don't have fighting and so forth, compared with, say, the Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica and Central America, the average lifespan is 90. If you take a baby from Costa Rica and take him to Somalia and feed him as a Somali, he'll live to be 29. You take a Somali baby at birth and take him up to Costa Rica, he'll live to be an average of 90.
Because, regardless of the genetics, in other words.
Regardless of the genetics, because genetics only provide a what's called a genetic potential. The genetic potential for human beings is to live well past 100. And you'll never achieve that if you don't get the raw materials to get there. For instance, a Mercedes builds an engine to go 300,000 miles. But if you don't put oil in the Mercedes, it'll burn up in 50 miles.
Right.
The same way is true with the human beings. If you don't provide all 90 essential nutrients every day with every meal, you will get disease. You will get arthritis and diabetes and heart disease and goiter. And you'll get kidney stones and cataracts and periodontal disease and degenerative disc disease and so on.
So our ill health is almost an inevitability to the point where it's a wonder that we even make it to age 70 given our poor state of nutrition.
Well, the good Lord has been very good to creatures on Earth because, fortunately, plants are able to manufacture 30 of the 90 essential nutrients. Plants can manufacture vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids because these are all carbon compounds. And the plant is able to, through the sun's energy in a process known as photosynthesis, take carbon dioxide out of the air and make carbon chains and manufacture wood and starch and sugar. Which is actually the energy source for plants to grow and do what they do. But they also make vitamins and amino acids and fatty acids for their own use, and they happen to be the essential nutrients for us. Now, the one thing plants cannot manufacture are minerals, and minerals make up two-thirds of the 90 essential nutrients. 60 of the 90 essential nutrients are minerals. And to be happy and make good seeds, plants only need three. We need 60. So you can eat a pretty good slice of organically grown multigrain bread baked with love in a good health food store or a good organic bakery and be 57 short. And so it's been my goal and Dr. Milan, my dear wife's goal, and with people like yourself, Ben and Michael, helping me out here, getting the word out, is to eliminate all birth defects, which you've done in the animal industry. We've eliminated all birth defects. Birth defects are all a manifestation of nutritional deficiencies in the embryo. And that's a very profound statement, but it's true. And we can eliminate 900 different diseases in human beings. We can eliminate type 2 diabetes, which is one of the most costly health problems we have in the United States and all other industrialized nations. We can eliminate obesity in just a few weeks by supplementing properly.
Yeah, like you could start right away almost. As soon as people start to change their lifestyle, you could start to eliminate diabetes and obesity immediately.
That's correct. And in the case of, if a person's 100 pounds overweight, it'll take a year to lose that weight. But in the case of diabetes, I've seen people with type 2 diabetes, they've had it for 40 years, and the disease goes away in 2 days. because it's a simple nutritional deficiency disease. You give the nutrients and everything works and the disease goes away.
Yeah, I want to talk a lot about diabetes. That's very fascinating to me. But you told me a very interesting story. I don't know if you want to, if you would like to share it with the folks about a gentleman, the preacher you were telling me about who had diabetes for many years and you just made a few changes. Do you know, remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Can you share that story with the folks? It's a very dramatic story, and it really underscores the power of this stuff.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that at 2 o'clock in the morning in Denver, Colorado.
Right.
Yeah. And basically, this is a gentleman, and he had congestive heart failure, type 2 diabetes, arthritis, back problems. He had coronary artery disease. He had many, many diseases going on at the same time. And many of which I'm sure his doctors didn't know he had, that I didn't know he had, but he had all these diseases. This fellow was on a heart transplant list. He had diabetes, and to make a long story short, he was in big trouble. He was literally taking 27 prescription medications, and he was going to Loyola University, and they had him wearing one of these bracelets, which was going to notify him when they had the heart. He warned me, this. I met him at 1 o'clock in the morning after one of my talks in Chicago, and he said, if this thing goes off here, they've got my heart and I've got to run, don't think I'm rude. And so he warned me. And I just happened to have all the right stuff in my pocket because somebody had brought me some bottles because I'd been on the road for a while and was running out. And I gave him the supplement program necessary for congestive heart failure and cardiomyopathy, heart disease, and coronary artery disease, and diabetes, and liver disease, and so on. And his wife called me in 24 hours and said, Doc, you're not going to believe this. His pulse dropped with all the medications. His pulse was like 230, and it dropped down to 72 overnight. His blood pressure went from over 220 over 140 down to 120 over 70 overnight. And his palpitations and all the manifestations of his congestive heart failure and his hypertrophic cardiomyopathy went away overnight. He actually lost about 40 pounds overnight because his diuretics weren't working. And with all these nutrients, suddenly now his kidneys began to work, and he was able to urinate out 40 pounds of fluid he had accumulated, which caused respiratory distress and so on. And it was just one of those miracles. He's off the transplant list. He's back pastoring his church. He happened to be a bishop over 200 churches, and so these 200 churches have now begun to use the Wallach approach to health problems. And I was just in Chicago giving a lecture to a huge group of their followers, and looks like Southside Chicago is going to be the tip of the spear when it comes to eliminating diseases, because they're tired of the healthcare system as has been known in the United States. And they're ready to try something new. And this.
Why isn't everybody willing to do that?
Well, it's going to happen now. I believe it's going to happen now, Michael, because come February of next year, when a doctor screws up, which they do a lot, 15 million times a year, doctors kill, injure, and infect their customers. 15 million times a year, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association and the Centers for Disease Control. There's 15 million people killed, injured, and infected by medical doctors each year in their hospitals and offices. 15 million customers are killed, injured, and infected. They don't even get an OSHA ticket. Well, when you go in, say you have gangrene in the right leg and they want to cut your leg off, there's other options, but they choose to cut your leg off, and they cut your leg, your left leg off. They say, oh, my gosh, we cut the wrong leg off, but they still charge you for that surgery, and then they charge you for cutting the appropriate leg off. So they get a twofer. There's no incentive to do it right in the first time. Well, that, according to all the new laws, February of next year, it's going to be a responsibility of the doctor or the hospital when they do something, leave a sponge in you, you got to go back in, or you get an infection following surgery, and there's $50,000 worth of extra cost after the original surgery because of hospital stays and new drugs and second and third surgeries to clean up all the mess. The individual doctor has to pay for it. So what they're doing now, the doctors are fleeing medicine by the thousands and tens of thousands. They're going back to school becoming lawyers because they know their colleagues are going to need them. And they're actually selling their practices to hospital groups and becoming an employee of the hospital group and trying to go under the radar, under the liability insurance of the hospital instead of own personal stuff. They can't afford it. So you're going to see a dramatic change. And people are going to begin to use more naturopathic doctors like myself. They're going to use more chiropractors. They're going to use more acupunctures. And interestingly enough, they're going to start taking care of themselves. And this is why Dr. Milan and I have written so many books, including Hell's Kitchen and Immortality, to get the information out to the general public, because doctors would not transmit this information. Even though it's in the Smithsonian Institute, doctors would not transmit the information to their patients.
Now, I noticed at the end of Immortality, you have a nice little synopsis on some of these very interesting minerals. And would you speak a little bit about some of the stranger minerals that are involved in health? Some of the
guys, I hate to do this, but we're late for a commercial break here. Maybe we can combine the commercial breaks and come back. And so hold that thought, if you would, Ben and Doc.
Okay.
And we'll be back in just a few minutes. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, the Saturday special with Dr. Wallach and pharmacist Ben Fuchs and MZ and Nikki, the pilot in command. Back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
As the days get shorter, the list of things you need to do to get your yard ready for winter seems to be getting longer. Bagging, mulching, aerating. Well, the first thing that should be at the top of your to-do list is visiting your local John Deere dealer. They have all the equipment and attachments you need to tackle all your outdoor projects, like John Deere Select Series lawn tractors with dozens of attachments. Gator utility vehicles, perfect for work and play. And compact utility tractors when you have a larger piece of property to tackle. And now, as you gear up for fall, you can take advantage of some of the best deals of the season, including great financing options. So while the leaves may be turning orange and brown, the best way to clean up this fall is still green and yellow. Come into your local John Deere dealer and take a test drive today. You'll see for yourself that no matter what the season, nothing runs like a deer. For details on savings and financing options, visit Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of our walls? JM Electric knows. I'm Charlie Friedman. Fact is, we can't see what electrical evils lurk in our walls, and those evils cause about 68,000 home fires every year. I got to thinking about the evils that might be lurking in my walls and what a fire would do to my collection of 78 records, so I called JM Electric and asked for a current safe home inspection service. That was a good call. Tom from JM Electric used some high-tech equipment to conduct an incredibly thorough inspection of all my electrical systems. He actually looked inside the walls and showed me pictures of where I'm vulnerable. Thanks to JM Electric, I know there are now no electrical evils lurking in my walls, and that knowledge is worth about $1 million in sound sleep. Discover what kind of electrical evils are lurking in your walls. Call JM Electric in Salinas. Ask for a free, no-obligation electrical hazard assessment. That's JM Electric, 422-7819, or jmelectric.com. When your business requires a multiple-function, high-performance e-commerce website, go for the German-built quality of Reliable System Enterprises, or RSE.
Hello, I'm Dieter.
I'm Andrea. RSE is a husband and wife team with low overhead, which means we can build your multiple-function e-commerce website for a price so reasonable, you'll wonder why you waited to get down to business.
Listen to what our customers have to say about their RSE e-commerce websites.
Hello, my name is Carrie Tice, and I'm with the Hofstas House Hotel in Carmel. Working with RSE allows you to keep ahead of the competition because they are on the edge of technology. Working with them has been great.
Get down to business. E-commerce business. Reach Dieter and Andrea at myrse.com/KSCO for a free, no-obligation, in-depth consultation. Or on the phone, 274-2546. With RSE, you get Mercedes-like performance for a VW Rabbit-like price. myrse.com. This wet winter is adding tons of brush to your property's wildfire fuel load. Now for some good news from Bruce McCampbell of Turnpike Development. Turnpike's Hydro Axe Mulching Service can turn your weeds and brush into soil-conserving mulch just like that. And brush mulching is good for your soil, good for preventing fires,
and good for preventing erosion. Don't wait until it's too late. Pick up your phone and call for Turnpike's Hydro Axe. The Hydro Axe will shred and mulch your coyote brush, manzanita, and poison oak choked acreage and clear your fire breaks faster than you can say lickety-split. Turnpike Development can also handle all your excavation, septic, drainage, and utility needs. Turn your fire hazard into a soil-conserving mulch. Call Turnpike Development today for fast, safe, and cost-effective brush clearing. That's Turnpike Development, 831-818-1712. 818-1712 or turnpikedevelopment.com. That's turnpikedevelopment.com.
Ben Lomond Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality and service that doesn't always cost you more.
I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week in produce, we are featuring California white peaches and California pluots, 99 cents a pound. Large honeydew melons, $1 each. We also have large California pole tomatoes, 77 cents a pound, and California Italian squash, 49 cents a pound. In organics, we have local grown broccoli, 149 a pound, California cantaloupe, 48 cents a pound, and local grown yellow onions, 97 cents a pound. We are still getting our white corn direct from the farmer to you. Don't miss out. Last Black Mission figs are in and on special, two baskets for $5, both in conventional and organic. So come and enjoy this week's fresh produce features at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Market.
Compare and save. Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
Welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special with Pharmacist Ben and Doc Wallach. Let's bring Doc back on and lock him in. Tune him in and lock him in, Dr. Joel Wallach. And Pharmacist Ben Fuchs, take on. Okay, we're back. Before we went to the break, you would ask Doc a question about Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, I was going to, you know, I want to talk about some of these more bizarre minerals like thorium and neodymium. But before I get into that, Doc, you know, you kind of cut your teeth on, or at least what you're best known for, is this idea of colloidal or liquid minerals. But there still seems to be some confusion on just what exactly they are and where they come from, how they work. Can you maybe enlighten us a little bit on this idea of what colloidal minerals are, how they differ from regular minerals, why they're so important?
Sure. Okay, well, a colloid is a physical state, a very small particle size. You're getting down to angstrom units, which are tiny, 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 smaller than, obviously, than micrograms. And as a colloid, it's actually able to stay in suspension forever. They're all negatively charged, and by repelling each other, it causes what's called Brownian movement, and they maintain themselves in suspension by one negative particle repelling another negative particle. So they don't have to stir it. They just stir themselves because they're all negatively charged. And when you look at a quart of salt water, like seawater, the maximum you can get in that quart of water in solution, where a solution you have like sodium chloride, you break up that bond there between the sodium and the chloride. The sodium is positive and then the chloride is negative. And those little atoms go in between the molecules of water. You can only get 985 milligrams of stuff in solution in a quart of water. Now, if you heat it up and supersaturate it, you can actually put more in there. You can get up to maybe 1,200 milligrams, but then as soon as you get it back down to room temperature, everything above 985 milligrams will precipitate out as kind of like sand in the bottom of the bottle. By contrast, the colloid, for instance, our colloidal minerals, or plain colloidal minerals, you can actually get as much as 38,000 milligrams, 38 times more in suspension in that fluid. And yet, when you look at it, it's clear. It'll have a slight amber color, but it'll be clear. And the only way you can tell it's a colloid is to take a laser beam, and you put a laser beam, say 2 millimeters, in through a column of this colloid, and it'll go in and 2 millimeters, and it comes out 20 millimeters because of the diffraction or refraction of those particles refracting the light. Whereas when you have a solution, you put the laser to millimeters of light going in, it comes out 2 millimeters because there's not enough nutrients or minerals or what, salt or sugar or whatever else is in there to refract the light. And so that's kind of a simple test to tell if something's a colloid or not. Paint is a colloid where they actually take oils and make them into tiny little particles. Homogenized milk is a colloid by running the milk fat globules through rollers that essentially have no space between them. You make those fat globules very, very tiny, and you turn them into colloidal fats, and then they're able to stay in suspension forever without having to shake the milk, and the cream doesn't rise at the top anymore because you've created a colloid. So it's actually a physical state. And so that's kind of the definition of a colloid. Now, the reason why I like them...
The impact on nutrition?
Oh, well, that's what I say. Well, the reason why I like them, you can get an enormous amount of nutrition in a small volume. For instance, in a ounce of a colloidal minerals, you get 600 milligrams. You get 600 milligrams of colloidal minerals per ounce. Okay, whereas a solution, you're going to get like 60 milligrams of minerals. And so when it comes to minerals, you need a lot more than that. And so to get, for instance, 2,000 milligrams of calcium a day, how do you do that with a solution or even a tablet? You can't do it. It's physically, mechanically impossible. And so the people who have access to colloids naturally are the ones who historically around the world would live longer. Now, nobody knew why until we began, Dr. Milan and I began to study this stuff in some great detail, and we figured out that every place where people live long periods of time have access to a significant amount of minerals, far above 40, and they all have colloid minerals available to them. They all have organic minerals available to them. Either is what we call glacial milk, where the glaciers are grinding up parent rock in the mountains and they're irrigating with that silt from that rock being ground up, or they are using wood ashes in some cases, like the Yao people from southwestern China and the Hunzas from northern Pakistan, and also the Costa Ricans, the people from the Nicoyan Peninsula. They use both glacial milk, this colloid of rock flour, if you will, suspended in river water, irrigation, and they inadvertently get the fertilization from those minerals, and then they also put their wood ashes and also the plant debris ashes back into the garden, so they're recycling minerals.
Are those minerals in wood ash, they're not colloidal, are they?
Well, they are colloidal in that they're very small particle size. They originate because the plant has done something to them. The plant has taken a inorganic mineral, like something like granite dust, and suck it up, but it has to turn it into a chelated colloid. It has to join it with a protein or a lipoprotein, fats and proteins, to go up and down the plant's vascular system. And when you burn the plant at normal wood burning temperatures, you do not change that. It's still a colloidal chelate. In that it still has a lipoprotein attached to the mineral. We actually have a process. We've learned how to take the liquid colloidal minerals and through cold freezing and vacuum able to suck the water out of it and put one capsule full of these mineral powders equals 1 ounce of the liquid. And so, we've done a lot of research and figured out how to do all this stuff. And so now people can, if they don't want the liquids, it's too heavy to carry around, they can actually take one capsule per 100 pounds of body weight, or take 1 ounce of the liquid per 100 pounds of body weight and get their colloidal minerals.
Now that's the Beyond Tangy Tangerine you're talking about?
I'm talking about just the plain minerals, minerals.
Powdered plain minerals.
Either powdered plain minerals or the liquid plain minerals. That is the basic core of our concept to get all these minerals into people, because plants don't make them. Nutritional minerals do not occur in a uniform blanket around the crust of the earth. They occur in veins like chocolate and chocolate ripple ice cream. And in the animal industry, we've leveled the playing field by putting all known essential nutrients, including all 60 essential minerals, in every alfalfa pellet that a rat, a rabbit, a mouse, a rabbit, a guinea pig, or a dog, or a calf, or a horse eats. And so they get a much better nutritional program than human beings do, who are left to our own devices and hope and pray that the grain that you're eating and some bread or the peach you're eating grew in a place that had some minerals in it. There's no way to tell by looking at it because it still looks pretty good.
So that's a very fascinating description you gave about how the plant converts the granite or rock into somehow into a usable form.
Into an organic form. That is correct.
So that when the plant dies, it leaves behind its minerals, and those the mines that have these mineral concentrations are minerals from plants that have done their conversion process and passed them on.
That is correct. These are not inorganic minerals at that point. When you look at the mines that have the humates in them, which is the raw material, it's actually a compost from the Jurassic days, during the time of the dinosaurs. These minerals come from the Jurassic days, and they look like coffee grounds. It's a ancient compost is what it is, and it's very remarkable stuff, and has 77 certified organic plant minerals in them, and we can attest to that because for 35 years annually they've been certified to be organic. They're very pristine. There's absolutely no bad stuff in them. That was our first concern, of course, is whatever we do, we didn't want to hurt anybody. And so we're very pleased to have a source of organic, certifiable organic. That means there's no toxins in there, no pollutants. And it's very exciting stuff. And it's really the only source you can depend on to get these weird minerals that you're talking about.
Yeah, I was kind of intrigued by the idea that arsenic and nickel and thorium and neodymium have health benefits.
Yes, we've known this since the 40s, up until then, again, we used wood ashes in livestock feed, and there's actually textbooks of nutrition from agricultural school that said you had to add 12% wood ashes to mineral mixes for livestock. And I found some of these old textbooks in the antique stores where there's 12% of the mineral mix for livestock and laboratory animals and pet animals and this is from like Cornell University and the University of Wisconsin, that they required 12% or 12 pounds out of 100 pounds of mineral mix had to be wood ashes for these mineral sources. And they had to come from specific locations because they knew they had something useful in those locations. They didn't necessarily know what. Well, arsenic we've known to be an essential nutrient since 1947. Selenium we knew since 1912. And the medical profession, all they want to talk about is iron and potassium and calcium. They know nothing about arsenic as an essential nutrient. Yet the medical school in New York City from New York University actually did a study on leukemia that's a very vicious acute promyelocytic leukemia, kills you in 3 months after diagnosis. They gave arsenic to these patients, and 10 years later they're still alive. And they said, well, yeah, this is all kind of interesting, but it's not a cure. Well, if they give you a chemotherapy or a surgery and you live 5 years, and the cancer comes back at 5 years and 1 day, you've been cured. Right. Well, here's arsenic. Everybody in the study was still alive after 10 years, and they say, well, it's still not a cure. It's still an interesting observation. And for 1912, we've known that you could prevent and reverse certain types of cancer with a trace mineral selenium. And I had to sue the FDA on that one a couple of years ago. I actually sued the FDA and won in a federal court proving that selenium could prevent and reverse certain cancers, and they appealed. And I won in the appellate court, and they appealed again, and they signed off because they ran out of money. They signed off on on the steps, literally on the steps of the Supreme Court. And then a year later, they got a sister agency to sue them to undo that signing off on that thing. And I had to become a co-defendant with the FDA because they were not going to vigorously defend that ruling, and so I had to become a co-defendant with the FDA to vigorously defend that ruling. And, of course, the other side gave up when they realized I was going to be a co-defendant.
Bizarre.
So you actually worked with the FDA as a co-defendant. How interesting.
Well, that was to protect a ruling that we had fought very hard to get, and they weren't going to defend it, so I had to.
Right.
Sometimes the enemy of your enemy is your friend,
right,
even though they're not your friend. You have to, just like we sided with the Russians during the Second World War to defeat the Germans, right?
This is such fascinating stuff. And I know, Ben, you've been wanting to talk with Doc Wallach at length for a long, long time about this. About many different things, many, many different sides of Doc Wallach. What people are used to hearing is the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program, where Doc directs people with particular maladies and how to alternatively fix those maladies. But you never really get to hear this. And I really want to put in a plug, and I know you do too, Ben, for Doc's these two books that have particularly impressed you.
They're wonderful books. Wonderful books. Hell's Kitchen and Immortality. I don't know which one I like better. Maybe Hell's Kitchen, because I'm really fascinated with this whole gluten and grain kind of thing that you talk about in Hell's Kitchen. This diabetes epidemic is a real big problem, right, Doc?
Oh, absolutely. And which numbers did you want me to give out?
Yeah, I was going to there's a couple ways to do it here. There's a toll-free number, 800-755-4656. That'll connect you to Wellness Publications, which is you might even get to talk to Dr. Malan herself, Doc's wife, or you can shoot me an email, mz@ksco.com, and I'll help you get hold of it. But either way, get hold of these books. They're great. 800-755-4656 or mz@ksco.com.
Yeah, well, diabetes is very fascinating because right now there's a third of Americans have it. There's 300 million Americans, and 90 million Americans have type 2 diabetes. It's 57 million are considered pre-diabetic, and on a bad day they're diabetic. On a good day they're below the line, so I still throw them into the mix. There's 33 million who are full-blown, brittle diabetics. So 90 million, one-third of our population, has diabetes. It's a simple mineral deficiency disease, just like iron deficiency anemia is caused by iron deficiency. There's a deficiency of two trace minerals and 23 cofactors that are a combination of vitamins and amino acids and a couple of other minerals necessary for those two trace minerals to work. And this was discovered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture in 1957 and published in many scientific journals. Of course, the medical profession said, well, yeah, that's just in animals. In humans, it's genetic. Well, in 1977, there was an East Indian guy by the name of F.K. Gigi Boy, who was the director of the Boston Coma Center. And he was a very bright guy, and he was just newly hired and didn't want to just sit there and collect a check. So he was, and there was no computers back then universally available, and, you know, Wikipedia and Google and that kind of stuff. And so he was manually going through the records of 30 years of coma patients looking for some interesting thing that he could do a project on, a scientific project. And after about 6 months, he recognizes that what nobody else had recognized. If a patient survived, and there were 3,000 patients in comas in this coma center there, and he recognized if a patient lived for 90 days in that coma center, in a coma, being fed intravenously, and they didn't die during that 90 days, or they didn't get better from a stroke or a head injury and go home, if they were still being fed intravenously after 90 days, 100% of them developed type 2 diabetes. And he reasoned quite correctly that it was either something missing in the IVs they were given, or there was something in the IVs they were being given that gave it to them. And so he starts going through the scientific literature at that point again by hand. It took him a couple of months, and he ran into that stuff from 1957, those two trace minerals and the cofactors. So he puts those into the IVs, and in 3 days' time, they're all cured of their diabetes. I mean, it was like you couldn't believe it. It was a miracle. And this is back in 1977. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And here's the funny part about it. The letters of contrast, right, the ones that were saying they disagreed with his observations. They said, oh, that was just a placebo effect. Well, I don't know how you get 3,000 people in a coma to hear how wonderful they're going to feel and their diabetes is going to go away, and it goes away when they're in a coma, right? But these were the letters, the contrary letters to his study, and that's how ingrained and how entrenched the thinking of the medical system is. They're absolutely ignorant of nutrition. And so, for the most part, this got into the National Enquirer, it got into the public venue in the press, and for a couple of years, this form of chromium called chromium picolinate was disseminated out through every health food store, and it was very popular for about 2 years, and actually doubled the blood levels of chromium in the American population. for a period of 2 years because everybody was supplementing with it. But nobody's diabetes got better, went away, and so it went into disfavor, and nobody supplements with chromium picolinate anymore. This doesn't work. Well, that's because they left out the 23 cofactors, and this is where what we do makes a difference because we put the 23 cofactors and these trace minerals together into a little kit, and we could truly, I believe, we could eliminate type 2 diabetes in America within days if everybody were to do this. Now, I take all this myself, and people say, well, you don't have diabetes. Why are you taking that stuff? That's because I don't want to get diabetes. It's kind of like you put oil in your car to prevent the engine from burning up. And so why do we wait until we're sick until we worry about we're sick? And why don't we do preventive maintenance on ourselves like we do in our cars? And so I've been taking the 90 essential nutrients three times a day since I'm 9 years old. And I'm 71 years old. My blood pressure, I'm not on any medication. And my blood pressure is 121 over 71. Pulse, my resting pulse is 47, unless I drink a couple of energy drinks, and it spikes up to 52. And I just went to a continuing education event in Portland, Oregon, and they did my blood oxygenation for me there in the, you know, the exhibition hall. They have all these companies with machines and things, and my blood oxygenation is 99.9. My vascular elasticity, to tell you if you have any hardening of the arteries, is that of a 32-year-old male athlete. And my bone density is that of an 18-year-old male athlete because I've been taking the 90 essential nutrients three times a day since I'm 9 years old. I don't have any afflictions. I've never taken a prescription medication. And so for 62 years, I haven't seen a doctor. I'm not dumb. I do my own physicals. And I teach people, I should say Dr. Milano and I teach people how to do their own physicals in the book Let's Lay Doctor. And if you do your own physicals, it'll cost you about less than $5 to do a physical that's actually better than the one you'll get from a medical doctor.
What are the main things you want to look for?
Well, when you're doing physicals, of course, you want to get your. You can actually go to these pharmacies and sit in the chair and put your arm in the loop and push the button, and they'll either give you a digital or even a printout of your pulse and your blood pressure. You can, if you have a friend that has diabetes, or you can, if not, you can just go buy these little sterile lancets and get the test strips to find out what your blood sugar and blood cholesterol are. You can get test strips for your urine test that are called multi-sticks, and you can pee in a clean drinking glass and dip the multi-strip in there and test for blood and sugar and protein and ketone bodies and infection. And if you get the expensive ones that are like $1.72 a piece instead of $1.50 a piece, it'll also give you kidney function and liver function. And you can even you don't even need to go to a have a colonoscopic exam done because you can do what's called an occult blood test where you take soiled toilet paper after you wipe your bottom after you have a bowel movement. You put some of the bowel movement on the gel of this little test called an occult blood test. If it turns colors in a minute or two, that means you have blood in your stool. But if you don't have blood in your stool, the odds of you having colon cancer and ulcerative colitis and gastric ulcers is pretty small. If you do have blood in your stool, then you can go get a high-definition ultrasound, which is about $50, and there's no risk of radiation or danger, and whereas a colonoscopic exam, they have to put you under anesthesia, which there's risk there. They can puncture your intestines with the garden hose or sticking up your rump.
Yeah, I've known people that happened to, actually.
Yeah, actually. And so you can avoid all that for about, that's an extra $3 for that occult blood test. And so for $8 once a year and $5 three times a year, you can do your own physicals and stay on top of it. You get your pulse and your blood pressure for free. There's no risk of white coat hypertension and all this. And how to read the numbers is in the book, Let's Lay Doctor. It gives you the values, what they should be. And when you have high values, it tells you what that means. If you have low values, it tells you what that means and helps you interpret your own laboratory data, whether the doctor gets it or you get it yourself. And this is what we're going to save ourselves with because the new rules for the healthcare system will wind up killing more people than they have in the past. It's been bad in the past. It's going to get worse. And so I urge people to really begin to do things themselves. be more responsible.
We'll
avoid
give out
the
those
thing.
Numbers again here yeah. coming next hour. We're right at the top of the hour now here on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. back in 6 minutes.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. It's no secret that the founder of the whistleblower website WikiLeaks is not one of the Pentagon's favorite people after WikiLeaks published tens of thousands of pages of secret Afghan war documents. Well, yesterday, the 39-year-old Julian Assange was hit with an arrest warrant in Sweden where he was accused of rape. And just as suddenly today, that warrant was withdrawn.
Prosecutors in Stockholm, Sweden, withdrew the warrant for the WikiLeaks founder. In a brief statement, the chief prosecutor, Eva Finn, says this: I don't think there is reason to suspect that Julian Assange has committed rape.
Fox's Julie Kurtz. But the Swedish prosecutors also say that for the time being, Assange, who has no permanent address and travels frequently, remains under suspicion of molestation in a separate case. Assange, writing on WikiLeaks' Twitter page, says, quote, quote, the charges are without basis and their issue at this moment is deeply disturbing. Iran's head of nuclear activities says the country is, quote, witnessing the startup of the largest symbol of Iran's peaceful nuclear activities.
There are nationwide celebrations in Iran today as loads of fuel cells are being taken to the country's first nuclear reactor. Over the next 2 weeks, 80 tons of uranium fuel will be moved into the reactor, with the UN's nuclear watchdog group monitoring the entire process. The plant is set to produce electricity by next month, and according to Iran, that's all they plan to do with it. But critics don't trust the Iranian regime, saying, with some modifications, this plant could eventually build a nuclear bomb. In Washington, Caroline Shively, Fox News Radio.
Russia helped build the plants, the Bushehr plants, and has pledged to prevent spent nuclear fuel at the site from being shifted to a possible weapons program. 14-year-old Laura Decker is off on her quest to become the youngest person to sail around the world solo. The Dutch sailor's manager says she's left Portugal, departing from an unnamed port so she didn't have to be in the glare of the media. She spent yesterday running last-minute tests on new equipment, the trip expected to take a year. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk show, newscasts, on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. For the most compelling and quotable reporting and analysis on the big political stories of the day, you won't want to miss the All-Star Panel from Special Report with Brett Baer. You can hear Brett and his panelists, including Charles Krauthammer, Juan Williams, A.B. Stoddard, Steve Hayes, and others, break down the politics of the day like no one else. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and clicking on the podcast button for the All-Star Panel from Special Report. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including The Early Scoop with Fox News Radio's entertainment reporter Sabrina Sabah, with the latest in the world of entertainment, including box office results, music, and movie releases, and the world of television. It's free. Go to foxnewsradio.com and look for the podcast button.
While North Korea is seen as a backward nation, it's jumping on the social networking bandwagon, joining YouTube, Twitter, and now Facebook.
North Korea's Facebook page brags a photo of Kim Jong-il with the slogan, North Korea is the best Korea. Photos of his emaciated citizens were posted by others.
We went to the account of Kim Jong-il. It says, the U.S. will soon be mine. We saw that, we laughed.
South Korean student Wang Ki-hong can log in since he's studying in New York. Seoul's made the site illegal. That's put Democratic South Korea at odds with itself. Researcher Paik Hak-soon.
I think this is a conflict of interest.
But with a tech-savvy population and the fastest internet in the world, Paik says that censoring the North will be hard to enforce. In Shanghai, Bill Marcus, Fox News Radio.
Police in Rio de Janeiro say 10 gunmen suspected drug gang members who'd gotten into a shootout with the authorities invaded the luxury Intercontinental Hotel, popular with foreign tourists, and took 30 people hostage. In the end, though, the captives were freed and the gunmen surrendered. Well, they say everybody needs an editor.
A man on a mission.
I decided I would change the world by hunting down typos.
Jeff Dick, once an editor, now founder of the Typo Eradication Advancement League. He and a friend went on a 2-month mission across the country armed with permanent markers, chalk, and stick-on letters. They went from town to town hunting down errant apostrophes, wiping out spelling mistakes on signs. But the worst one, Jeff?
The most outrageous was in Chicago. It was a furniture store called Milwaukee Furniture. And they had somehow managed to who misspelled the name of their own store on their outside sign.
Dex hung up his markers for now, but he's still on tour across the country, this time pushing his book called The Great Typo Hunt. Jill Nato, Fox News Radio.
Martha's Vineyard vacation day two for the first family. The Obamas taking a ride to a private beach where they had a picnic. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSTO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Partly cloudy today. We're going to get sun later in the afternoon, though, with a high of 66. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Low of 51. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Sunday, partly cloudy. High of 72. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, west winds 5 knots, increasing 10 to 15 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet with a west swell of 2 to 3 feet at 8 seconds and southwest 3 feet at 17 seconds. Tonight, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds and southwest 3 feet at 16 seconds with patchy fog. Sunday out there, northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west 5 to 15 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds, and southwest 3 feet at 15 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, no incidents to report at this time. I will let you know if I see any, and if you see any, give me a call, 475-1080. Current temperatures, Watsonville's at 58, Monterey's at 57, and in Salinas it's 58. We're also at 58 degrees here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. Official time, 11:06 and 49 seconds on this Saturday, August 21st. Up next, second hour of Saturday's special. Stay tuned, KSEO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
About you, but I'm having a good time learning a lot with Doc Wallach and Ben Fuchs, and we're going to be on for another hour. This time we're going to be opening the phone lines, so I've got some questions. Get ready.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio.
So Ben has a few more questions for Doc, but he will ask those right after we do the latest K's commentary. I think we've got a world premiere, don't we, Nikki? Yes, ma'am. So take it away.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
This is called Why Missouri Has No Illegal Immigrants. Kudos to Ray Williams for sharing this information. If every state followed Missouri, illegal immigration would no longer be a U.S. problem. Missouri's approach to illegal immigration appears to be more advanced, sophisticated, strict, and effective than anything to date in Arizona. When is Obama going to take action to require Missouri to start accepting illegal immigrants once again? Never, because there are no Mexican illegals in Missouri to demonstrate. In 2007, Missouri placed on the ballot a proposed constitutional amendment designating English as the official language of Missouri. In November 2008, nearly 90% voted it in favor. Thus, English became the official language for all governmental activities in Missouri. Also, Also, in 2008, a measure was passed that required the Missouri Highway Patrol and other law enforcement officials to verify the immigration status of any person arrested and inform federal authorities if the person is found to be in Missouri illegally. And again, in Missouri, illegal immigrants do not have access to taxpayers' benefits such as food stamps and health care through Missouri HealthNet. In 2009, a measure was passed that ensures Missouri's public institutions of higher education to not award financial aid to individuals who are illegally in the U.S. So, while Arizona has made national news for its new law, it's important to remember Missouri has been far more proactive in addressing this horrific problem. Missouri has made it clear that illegal immigrants are not welcome in the state, and they will certainly not receive public benefits at the expense of Missouri taxpayers. So, what happily happens? Illegals do not go to Missouri. It appears that Obama picks and chooses which state to sue. So why wasn't there a stink about this official English-only law for Missouri? Kudos to the Show Me State for now showing us this bit of human wisdom. Condoning or forgiving bad behavior with bleeding heart assistance of illegality does not produce good citizenship or gratitude. Rather, it creates contempt and false justification. Amnesty is destructive. Will we ever learn? Obama, are you listening? We know you just want their votes. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Boy, my mom sure speaks her mind, doesn't she? Yeah, way to go, Ma. Okay, we're into hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special for today, this Saturday. And we have Doc Wallach and Pharmacist Ben as our two main... Actually, Pharmacist Ben is pretty much the interviewer of Dr. Wallach, something he's always wanted to do. And before we go any further, I want to thank the special sponsor of this Saturday special program and previous ones, the California Grill in Freedom at the corner of Freedom Boulevard and Airport Boulevard. Wonderful, wonderful place that has the menu of the old Adolph's restaurants from Santa Cruz that many, many people miss. God, they got the best salad dressing with chunks of tangy tomatoes. They got the best special steak that's got just the right amount of garlic in it. Just the most amazing pasta. Oh my gosh, this is a place you gotta try. I rave about it. I can't wait to get over there. So again, it's the corner of Airport and Freedom Boulevards in Freedom. And they are open from early in the morning, 7 to 8:30 p.m. And they serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. And when you go there, tell them MZ sent you and thank them for sponsoring the KSCO Saturday special. And you're going to have quite a treat because there isn't anything on that menu that I've had that wasn't superb, just absolutely superior. Okay, back to the program now. Let's see. Let's bring Doc back on. You there, Doc?
I am here.
Okay, and Ben, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we're going to give out the phone number now for people to call in. Margaret in Santa Cruz has been waiting, golly, for almost 40 minutes now. Phyllis in Las Vegas is on. And if you want to give a call, now is a good time to jump on 479-1080, 479-1080 in area 831. Or you can email me, mz@ksco.com, if you'd like me to read an email, comment, or question on this program. But right now, Ben wants to ask a few more questions of Doc Wallach, and then we'll go to the phone lines. Go ahead, Ben.
You know, I want Doc to touch on, last few times I've heard you, Doc, you've been talking about this idea of gluten intolerance and digestive health and digestive wellness. And I want you to expound on that a little bit and how important that is for overall health, as well as the importance of supplementation for folks who have digestive issues.
Okay, well, when people have digestive issues, obviously their absorption capacity is less efficient. And so As important as supplementation is, again, essential, like oxygen is essential, water is essential, the 90 essential nutrients are essential, to begin with, to get the minimum daily requirements. If you're only taking in the minimum daily requirements and you have an absorption problem, either not enough stomach acid, and interestingly enough, salt, sodium chloride, is the raw material to make stomach acid. You cannot absorb minerals, you cannot absorb B12, you cannot digest protein without an acid environment in your stomach, so you do need to take salt. I like people to take in about at least a half a teaspoon of salt every day. If they're out there sweating, whether they're working out for exercise or they're doing physical labor and sweating, they better take in a full teaspoon of salt during the day, plus their 90 essential nutrients. And of course, that's why we have the Rebound FX sports drink, to have 100 nutrients in there, including the electrolytes. But the other, and probably equally as important, is celiac disease, a gluten intolerance. And as it becomes more severe, if you don't deal with it, you get irritable bowel syndrome, you get inflammatory bowel disease, you get ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And I find it fascinating that for a malabsorption problem, for the inability to absorb nutrients, the medical system's answer for it is to remove your intestine surgically. I find that an insane approach to this disease when it's curable just within weeks by eliminating gluten from your diet. And we're talking about wheat, barley, rye, and oats, and all this farm, which include beer and scotch and bourbon and croutons and pasta and whole grain breads and organically grown wheat pancakes, all the things you would think of as being healthy. If you're gluten intolerant, these things will kill you. And it's a gradual process, and doctors mistakenly, if somebody suspects it, they'll do a allergy test for wheat or barley or oats, and they'll say, well, you don't have an allergy. Well, it's not an allergy. Just like if I were to test everybody in Santa Cruz or even all of California for an allergy to poison ivy, nobody would be allergic to poison ivy. But I guarantee you, everybody in California is intolerant to poison ivy. And so this intolerance to gluten, which is the protein from wheat, barley, rye, and oats, comes through the breast milk. It's not genetic, but it is transmitted through the breast milk, as the mother will have either gluten intolerance herself or digestive problems or malabsorption problems of one kind or another. And the undigested proteins from wheat, barley, rye, oats comes through the breast milk and sensitize the baby, which causes a gluten intolerance. Not an allergy, but a gluten intolerance. And I find that people who have multiple diseases, and again, they start out as a baby, they can have dermatitis or eczema, psoriasis, they can have cradle cap, they can have asthma, just day-old babies, especially if they're being breastfed and the mother has these problems. The babies will wind up with growing pains and colicky, and they change to a formula instead of breast milk, and their colicky symptoms get better, but they're still sensitive to gluten. So as they get older and they're starting to eat toast and hamburger buns and hot dog buns and cookies and crackers and pasta and pizza crust and that kind of stuff, the gluten begins to make changes in the intestine. And the experts now say that somewhere between 30 to 50 out of every 100 people in America have gluten intolerance. And this is what wiped out the Neanderthals. The Neanderthals, according to anthropologists, actually ruled the earth for 250,000 years. And they survived multiple ice ages and multiple global warmings, yes, multiple global warmings. And they survived those, and then they only died out in the last 40,000 years, because that's when we became related to them. And what we did was we traded grain, wheat, barley, rye, and oats to them for weapons, which they were very good at. And so they got the worst end of the deal because, of course, they got grains and they slowly died out from diabetes and iron deficiency, anemia. And even though they were eating meat, they couldn't absorb the iron because they had malabsorption problems from the gluten. And it was the celiac disease that finally killed the Neanderthals, where eight ice ages couldn't. And so it's a very important disease. When people have multiples of diseases and they're seeing four specialists, and they get a new disease every 2 years, they're on 14 different medications, these people have celiac disease or hypochlorhydria, which is low stomach acid, or both. And so just by getting them off of gluten, salting their food, taking the 90 essential nutrients, invariably, as predictable as gravity, all 20 of their diseases will go away.
Can you salt your food too much?
Well, sure. Can you salt your food? I mean, when you say it that way, sure. Too much oxygen will make you go blind and kill you. Too much water will kill you. We lose 1,000 athletes a year from water intoxication. They'll drink a gallon of water in 10 seconds to show off. It dilutes their blood potassium, and their heart stops. And so when you say, can you salt your food too much, the answer is, of course. But that's why people taste things. And if it's too salty, you just don't eat it. If it's uncomfortably salty, people won't eat it. You don't have to tell them
exactly.
That. They just won't eat it. And so do people die from too much salt? The answer is no.
Okay, because for many, many years, people have, you know, in the medical industry have said,
well, they still
don't
still say it.
Avoid salt, right?
Yeah, so. Well, they still tell you that. And, of course, this causes hypochlorhydria, low stomach acid, and that will result in, of course, malabsorption, maldigestion. And
just use your head, basically.
Yeah,
your head and your tongue.
Yeah, it's another doctor-caused disease.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you have another question or two, Ben, before we go to the phones?
I do, but I hate for this poor lady to hold on for so long. Why don't you take that? You said there was a gal who's holding on for a while?
Yeah, Margaret in Santa Cruz. Let's bring on Margaret. Hey, Margaret, you're on the air on KSCO with Doc Wallach and Ben Fuchs and MZ.
I feel like I'm in a university class today. I have the greatest respect for both of you and MZ for the forces that you promote this thing. And Dr. Wallach, I was just wondering... you know, I just don't understand why the medical professionals are so ignorant about nutrition, but not only are they ignorant, they're so hostile towards it. And a couple other things, the universities, what is the culpability of the universities for continuing poisoning all of our living things on this planet? Number two, are you aware of the actor, Jim Carrey's campaign that successfully is reversing autism, and are you aware of the hemp revolution versus the current GMO that's going on, and is there any chance that you could be a political leader when the country has an evolution to the high ground, or are you grooming any political potential candidates with this nutritional movement?
Okay, well, you asked me about 18 questions. There's only... take the three major ones that I remember. First of all, the autism thing, I've been getting rid of autism and ADD and ADHD since the 70s. It's actually in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of the book, Rare Earth Forbidden Cures. I actually teach people how to make their own diagnoses. And teach them. It's as predictable as gravity. The diagnosis is quite accurate. The average person with a fifth grade education can make a diagnosis of ADD, ADHD, and autism. Autism has nothing to do with vaccinations. The reason why people are concerned about vaccinations is because the initiation of autism occurs sort of serendipitously at the same time as kids get vaccinated. So you can easily see why people would try to make a connection. But there is no connection because the same batch numbers are used in Mexico, in South America, in Asia, in Africa, in Europe, and they don't have autism. It's an American disease. And autism occurs, I say, in 95% of the kids are born normal, and they only acquire autism somewhere between 2 and 8 years of age. And that's because they're weaned off of either a milk formula or breast milk onto fruity pebbles and apple juice. There's no omega-3s in any of the... with the exception of Youngevity's, there's no omega-3s, there's no transmitter raw materials in any of the prenatal vitamins. And so the whole pregnancy, the baby's brain is developing without the omega-3s. If the baby's lucky, the mother ate some fish or maybe had some flaxseed oil in her salad dressing or something like that, got a few omega-3s slipping through there, and then that would carry on in breastfeeding. But if she put the baby on a formula, there are some omega-3s in most milk formulas. But then when they wean off onto solid food at about 2 years of age, year and a half to 2 years of age, they go on to fruity pebbles and apple juice or Pop-Tarts and Welch's grape juice or Eggos with syrup and Sunny Delight. And they're getting nothing but sugar and carbohydrates. And then they're sent to daycare with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and they come home to Oreo cookies and Juicy Juice, and then for dinner they get all the Kraft macaroni and cheese they want. And the whole day they've had nothing but carbohydrates and sugar, no vitamin and mineral supplements, and it's no wonder the kids get crazy. And so And so when I was a kid, there was no such thing as ADD, ADHD, or autism, because kids were weaned off onto eggs and sweet potatoes with butter, and they're weaned off onto, we'd have beef that was left over for roast beef from the night before, and you'd have fish for breakfast and all this kind of stuff. And we didn't have juice, and we didn't have sugared cereals. I think Cheerios was the only, and maybe Wheaties was the only thing I could remember, and they were too expensive. We just didn't eat that kind of stuff. And so if all we have to do is get the kids from the moment they're born onto the Mighty 90, and then the next generation, of course, they're going to be on it their whole life, which would include the omega-3s, all through pregnancies from the moment the baby's born, and start that cycle. If everybody were to be put on the Mighty 90 now and get off of sugar in all its forms, including agave syrup and maple syrup and molasses and honey and table sugar and juices and so on, guess what? We'd eliminate autism in 48 hours. Right now, it's a multi-trillion-dollar industry. And again, 95% or 85% of all the kids in the world that get autism are in the United States. It's a physician-caused disease. I blame it on the pediatricians and the OBGYNs. And so I'll stop there. That's enough. You can read chapter 4, 5, and 6 of the book, Rare Has Been Cured. We actually have two CDs. One is called Women, Athletes, and Kids, and the other one is God's Recipe deals with those diseases in kids. Then, let's see, what was another one other than the hemp thing? What was the first one you talked about?
Well, just that the universities are culpable for poisoning our planet. Everything from GMO food to the...
Oh, well, here's the way to solve the problem. Stop sending kids to universities. Stop buying those kinds of foods. Grow your own foods. The people have to have their own little victory gardens like we did during the Second World War. And, of course, we have a certified organic soil conditioner with 75 minerals in it. It's been certified organic for every year annually for 35 years called Bloomin' Minerals. It comes in either granules you can put out in a spreader, or it comes in liquid, which you can spray. And so certified organic for 35 years annually has 75 minerals in it. And so I would urge people to have their own victory gardens and to stop using the medical system. We have to bring our use of the medical system to only trauma, when you get fourth-degree burns, when you get the trauma from physical accidents, car wrecks and motorcycle wrecks and muggings and strokes and things like that. You need emergency care. But other than that, the medical system is a negative the way it is. And so if people stop using it, it'll either change for the better or go away. That's how people get rid of bad systems. Going with your hat in your hand to the legislature, who gets paid off, or who their PAC committees are filled, their PAC accounts are filled by these people, and so doctors and pharmaceutical industry. So you have to just stop using them. Homeschool kids. When people complain about the schools and teachers, just don't use them. Homeschool your kids, and then they'll dry up and go away or improve the way they're supposed to be. And so we have to be more proactive in taking care of ourselves. And this is what made America great, where people were independent. They came here not for government handouts, but they came here to be independent and do their own thing. We need to go back to that concept, and this is what I've been trying to teach people nutritionally over the years, is to take care of themselves. Be Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad, Dr. Uncle, Dr. Grandpa, Dr. Brother and Sister, and so forth. And if we do these things ourselves, just like myself, I haven't been to a doctor in 62 years. I have never been on a prescription medication. If the medical system was dependent on me and people like me for survival, they wouldn't be around, because I haven't used a doctor since I was born. And so if everybody did that, then they'd go away. But
like
going
Home
to
Depot.
Yeah, we want to, exactly. I was telling Ben the other night, I'm writing a book called The Home Depot of Healthcare. And basically we're looking at do-it-yourself stuff. And this will advance us light years, because again, we can get rid of diabetes in a couple of days, but better yet, we can prevent it.
We need political candidates going to be a leader politically.
Well, here's what we do. Actually, I will pay you an outrageous amount of money to pass on the message to people, okay? Because politics, the politicians go where the votes are. And if everybody wants to blame the government for vaccinating kids and causing autism, then everybody's going to be suing the government, and then they have to raise more taxes to pay for the lawsuits, and it's just this terrible cycle. and the families won't be happy unless they like their kids to be autistic, then they have something to talk about, right?
Unbelievable.
Okay. And so the way to get rid of autism is to get off of sugar and get them on the Mighty 90. It just goes away in a couple of days. And so when it comes to things like hemp, it's been used for thousands of years. It's a analgesic drug. It's a hypnotic drug. I suspect that, like California, most other states in the union are going to legalize it beyond the medical marijuana. They're going to legalize it like alcohol because they're in such dire straits. They're going to you won't have to get any political leader to do that. It's going to be legalized simply because the governments, the state governments, city governments, county governments, federal government all want the taxes they can raise from everybody smoking pot. And so you can expect that that's going to happen.
Pot is different than hemp.
I don't think we want to waste time for that discussion.
Hey, Margaret, thanks very much. Let's go to our next caller, Phyllis in Las Vegas. Phyllis, you're on with Doc Wallach and Pharmacist Ben.
Yes, hello, Michael, Ben, and Doc.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hey, Phyllis.
Hi. It sounds like an ice cream company.
Yeah. What's that?
It sounds like
Ben
an
and
ice
Doc.
Cream.
It sounds like an ice cream company. Yeah. Michael, Ben, and Doc's.
or a law firm or something.
Yeah.
Bravo to all of you, first of all, for bringing this information to the public. And it's so fascinating to me, I almost hate to break in with a question. By the way, I'm loving the format of Pharmacist Ben questioning Doc, because we're getting a level of questioning and answer that we don't often hear. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
I just have a very quick question, and I can actually hang up and get my answer on the air. But, Doc, you were talking about diabetes and specifically how nutrition plays a role in helping type 2 diabetes, and I would love for you to address what can be done for people with type 1 diabetes. And,
okay,
Michael, I can go ahead and get my answer on the air.
Okay, Phyllis.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. Less than 1% of the diabetics in the world are type 1. That's why everybody focuses on type 2, because 99.8% are type 2 diabetics, a simple nutritional deficiency. Type 1 diabetic, the jury is still out as the cause, because there's multiple causes. The bottom line is, though, that the cells that actually generate insulin are damaged to the point where they can't generate insulin, and these are found in the islets. They're called basal cells, and they're actually in the islets of Langerhans, and they manufacture insulin. And the amino acids that form the cell walls of those particular cells are in a sequence very similar to that of milk. And oftentimes kids will be allergic to cow's milk. And there was a big series of articles in the New England Journal of Medicine back in the 60s, I believe, which looked at that. And they said one of the big mistakes that physicians make when a kid is diagnosed in the early honeymoon stage of type 1 diabetes, where they're type 2 for a while, then they're type 1, type 2, type 1, and finally they settle on a type 1 after this honeymoon period, which can be a couple of months or a year or so. The cells are damaged so much that they cannot produce any insulin anymore, is because the amino acid sequence in the cell walls is the same or very similar to that of cow's milk. And when you have an allergy to cow's milk, your own antibodies will attack these cells in the islets of Langerhans, and they cannot then produce insulin anymore. So that's one theory, and others are virus attacks and so on. At any rate, the difference between a type 1 and a type 2, regardless of cause, is that type 1 diabetics do not make any insulin. And the type 1 diabetic can be managed extremely well. If you don't manage it well and follow the standard medical treatment saying, hey, eat whole grains, you want complex carbohydrates to help stabilize blood sugar, that's all wrong. What you want is nuts and eggs and animal fats and things that are fat. To help stabilize blood sugar, not carbohydrates of any kind. And then, of course, the 90 essential nutrients with particular focus on the two trace minerals and the 23 cofactors. And I have type 1 diabetic patients that are in their 60s and 70s with no complications. You would never know that they're type 1 diabetics, because normally a type 1 diabetic has to test their blood sugar 4 to 6 times a day. They're constantly eating. They've always got food in their mouth chewing. They're kind of miserable to be around because they're always smacking their lips and chewing and chewing and chewing because they've got to eat all day to keep their blood sugar stable. But when you do the right thing as a type 1 diabetic, you can actually test your blood sugar twice a day, and you'll be on like 1/5 or 1/10 of the amount of insulin you need to manage your blood sugar, and you can live to be 100 with no complications. And so we're well on our way to accomplishing that, because I say I have hundreds of them who are in their 60s and 70s as type 1s because they've just followed the directions explicitly. Type 1 is effectively manageable. Type 2, you can prevent 100%, and you can eliminate it because it's a simple nutritional deficiency. I hope that helps you out, Phyllis.
Okay, yeah. Now, Phyllis has been listening on the air here. Let's go to our next caller, Marcella in Salinas. Marcella, you're on with Doc Wallach.
Hi, Doc Wallach. I totally disagree with you. Parents do not enjoy talking about their autistic kids. You simplify everything. It has everything to do with vaccines. You think vaccines are benign? Let me just talk for 2 minutes before you interrupt me. I am really upset at this misleading information. It's not just about nutrition. That's minor. There is MSG in vaccines, antifreeze, aluminum, mercury, and not all countries are the same in their vaccination schedule. U.S. kids are the most vaccinated children on the face of the earth. That is why American kids are fatter, dumber, and have higher rates of autism and ADHD. And I do have a severely autistic son, and I never gave him any sugar, okay? He had a hepatitis B shot, which is only for drug addicts and prostitutes, within like a month, okay? He was fully vaccinated because I believed my pediatrician. When my older son reacted to vaccines, I was dismissed. Doctors in this country, unlike Europe, are not trained to take family histories before they vaccinate a child. And when you do comment on a reaction, like high-pitched screaming, which means the brain of the child is being swollen and they are reacting to the vaccine, they just dismiss it. Have you ever read A Shot in the Dark by Harris Coulter and Barbara Lowe Fisher? Hello?
I've read the books. Yeah, I've read the books, but...
Okay.
Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor, sir? You're speaking like a doctor. You have some very, very strange ideas. You're saying nutrition is of no value here, and so...
Okay, it's a minor factor.
Sir? Okay, sir.
It's a lady. Yeah, it's a lady, doc.
Oh, this is a lady. Oh, okay. Well, I can help you with your problems, ma'am. Okay. If you are really searching for answers for your autistic child, you and I should talk and let me help you instead of fighting me. Obviously... whatever it is you're doing hasn't helped the child. And this is why I get so upset with autistic parents of autistic children. Instead of saying, well, look, I've had this autistic child for 8 years. I'm pulling my hair out. My life is miserable. My family's life is miserable. The neighborhood's miserable. Every place we go, everybody's miserable because of this poor autistic child. Instead of just keep doing what you're doing, why not try something different? And I bring this stuff up, and all I get is counterattacked here by people instead of saying, well, you know, I never thought of that. If you're so right, let's work together and let's try it for 90 days and see if there's any difference. But I never get an autistic family say to me, oh, let's try it for 90 days and see if there's an improvement. Instead, they want to persist on this vaccination thing. There's no MSG in vaccinations. That you've got that all screwed up. There may be in Chinese food, but not in vaccinations. And so, ma'am, you should contact me and let me see if we can help your child. Hopefully we can. But it's certainly worth a try. You don't want to just keep doing the same. In fact, Albert Einstein said insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. And, you know, if you're so...
Doc, listen, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. When I first knew you, you're not much of a proponent for vaccinations yourself.
No, I'm not a proponent.
And I don't think it's changed over the years.
No.
But when it comes to autism, it has nothing to do with it, is what you're saying.
Well,
right?
No, I've looked at batch numbers and things. When they use the same batch numbers in other countries, and there's no autism associated with the same batch numbers as we have over here, you have to appreciate, here's a malnourished kid who's given nothing but sugar, I guarantee you that this lady's kid was not weaned off of formula or breast milk onto a perfect diet. The kid was weaned off onto a typical American breakfast, which is cereal and juice or Pop-Tarts and juice or whatever. I can't believe that that child was weaned off onto a perfect diet. Now, there are 5% of the kids that are born with varying degrees of autism. It's not all or nothing. It's like not like 100%. It's a spectrum, and you can have minor degrees of autism in which an expert has to really check the kid out to see if there's any degree of autism. Then you get a modest degree, you get moderately severe, then you get severe, and then you get catastrophic. And so catastrophic kids who are born with it, you may be able to, with dietary changes and supplementation, see some benefit, maybe 10%, maybe 25%. When they're very modestly affected, you can get 100% benefit, even if they're born with it. And so, but if they're born normal, almost 100% of the time, they can be converted back to normal with a proper diet, get on a gluten-free diet, and supplement properly. But the whole family has to eat the same way because the family gets weary of feeding the kid one way and the rest of the family wanting to eat another way. And so most families do not like to make that change. And some people do enjoy making the circuit of calling in on call shows and talk shows and being the local celebrity in the town they live in and so forth. And it's really a disservice to the child not to try anything that comes along that might be a benefit. And so I do get offended by people who refuse to try. If they want to beat me up after we try and they don't get benefit for their kid, then I can see where they can say, well, Wallach's stuff didn't work for my kid. But to beat me up before trying something different, I get offended by that attitude.
Okay. Next caller, Rich in Salinas. Rich, you're on the air on the KSCO Saturday Special.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Doc, I was curious about one book I read from a Dr. Robert Lyons about ichthyosin as a particular mineral that seems to be special.
Okay, I missed that.
Yeah, I missed it too, Rich. Your cell phone must have dropped out.
Oh,
or
I'm
something.
Sorry.
What mineral? What is it?
It's called indium, and I know it's one of the minerals in the minerals.
Yeah, indium's in. Yeah, it's in our plant minerals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, this is why there are 60 essential minerals. Medical doctors think there's only three, you know, iron and potassium and calcium, right? And indium, of course, is a great support for the immune system. And in some of the alternative cancer centers in Mexico, indium is one of the preferred minerals, just like gallium is and so forth. And these things are very, very useful. And it's almost sad that some of these doctors will write a book on a specific mineral because they don't work in a vacuum. And I want to step back to the diabetes thing because it's very illustrative here. When you look at diabetes, you may note that I never name the trace minerals that are missing when you have diabetes, because if I do that, people run to the health food store, they buy those trace minerals, and it won't work, and then they say Wallach's full of dog snot because it didn't work, because they didn't hear the piece that I said, the 23 cofactors. And so I like people to use the kit, the system, which is, what should I say, as predictable as gravity, that it will work because it has all the cofactors necessary for those two trace minerals to work. The same thing is true with indium, gallium, which great research in England on gallium, which shows it prevents brain tumors in children. And do you think OBGYNs will recommend the 90 essential nutrients for pregnant women so they can prevent brain cancer in kids under 5 or 10 years of age by giving pregnant women gallium? No, they don't do that.
Okay.
And yet, enormous amount of research on that stuff. Say again?
Senate Bill 510 is going to restrict us from growing our own vegetables and raising our own animals. It's in the Senate right now. Are you aware of that one? And also, can tape be made of this broadcast? I stopped writing notes. I can't take them fast enough.
Yeah, of course. All of our broadcast, all of the Saturday specials are available on our website all the time.
I don't have a computer.
Then I can't help you.
Okay.
Yeah. Get a
computer. Okay, well, yeah, nobody will ever be able to stop Americans from raising their own tomatoes and bell peppers and sweet potatoes and onions in their yard or in a pot in their bathroom or something like that. You know, and nobody's going to ever be able to stop people from growing their own food. Nobody's going to be able to stop people from growing their own livestock. It's just not going to happen. And so it comes down to a matter of will. If you have a U.S. representative or a senator who is supporting such a bill, vote them out. You know, just vote for – see, the problem we have in the federal government and in most state governments is everybody's a lawyer. There's no farmers left in the government. And so they don't even know that food is grown in the soil. They don't even know that you need 90 essential nutrients. So they know nothing about living things. All they know is about laws. They do a very bad job of that. And so we have to take control here, not by armed revolution, which is silly and ineffective and very troublesome, but we want to take control by not using failed and corrupt systems. And so this is what I tell people when they're outraged about vaccinations, well, just don't use them. And I'll tell you a great little story how this worked. I speak a lot up in the Amish communities in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And the OBGYNs in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, this is about 20 years ago, they decided they were tired of the midwives in the Amish community delivering babies, and they wanted to take that job over. And so they sued a kind of a grandmother midwife in the Amish community there for practicing medicine without a license. And when the day came, the court was surrounded by thousands of Amish in their carts and their buggies and their wagons and their horses, and so literally thousands. And as the trial began, the elder of the local Amish asked the judge for permission to speak, and this old man said, Your Honor, if you send my wife here to jail for practicing medicine without a license, my daughters are going to deliver babies. Put my daughters in jail, their cousins will deliver the babies. We're not going to use these OBGYNs. It's not part of our culture. And we're just not going to do it. And so we're prepared to all go to jail today and save a lot of time and court costs. And the judge looks out the window and hears 10,000 Amish out there. He said, case dismissed. He just threw the case out. And so this is what we have to do. We have to do these sorts of things. Instead of wasting our time trying to get a group of people who are, you know, voted in government like Bell, California, where here's these people, where 2,800 people or whatever it is, 28,000 people in the town, and all of the people in the city council are making over $1 million, and the fire chief is making $600,000 a year. And people voted them in year after year after year after year, and they only got kicked off when they lost their jobs. And so we have to get rid of ignorance and corruption simply by not using ignorance and corruption. So you don't like vaccinations, don't use them. You don't like particular type of teachers and schooling, homeschool. And then it will all go away.
Okay, we have a commercial break for the hour, second hour here that we must take. But Craig in San Jose, Bill in Watsonville, and Saint in Hollister, stay on hold. We will be right back. It's the Saturday special, hour number two, on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, with Doc Wallach and Farmers' Band and MZ. Nikki, take it away. Back in a few minutes.
There have been some epic competitions through the centuries. David versus Goliath. Beta versus VHS. Me versus my mother-in-law. But now there's a new competition that's going to take center stage. The John Deere Gator versus your expectations. That's because the new Gator XUV 825i can get you from here to there with an extra shot of adrenaline. It boasts the most advanced engine in its class. Three cylinders with dual overhead cams, 50 horsepower, and fierce acceleration. Plus, with its double wishbone suspension, it laughs at terrain that other utility vehicles go out of their way to avoid. Gator versus your expectations, the new Gator 825i is going to win this one, going away. For great financing, visit your local John Deere dealer today.
For details on savings and financing options, visit Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
We have great news for all you moms and dads. Hi, I'm Roy Trowbridge of the family-owned Palace Art and Office Supply.
It's time to get the kids ready for back to school. Hi, I'm Frank Trowbridge.
And we are ready to help you. I'm Gary Trowbridge. Listen to some of the great prices on back-to-school things Palace has to help you get the kids in the mood.
New collapsible water bottles designed to fit in your pocket or purse. $6.99. For artists, Liquitex Tube Acrylics, Winton Oil Paints, and selected Winsor Newton Brushes, all at 40% off. Check the Good Times, Santa Cruz Weekly, and the Santa Cruz Sentinel for money-saving Palace coupons. And don't forget to visit us at GoPalace.com.
Bring the kids to Palace and get them in the mood to go back to school.
They'll love shopping all the creative, fun things we have for them.
And you'll enjoy prices that will save you lots of money. We look forward to seeing you and the kids at Palace Art and Off Supply on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz and on 41st Avenue in Capitola.
A proud member of Think Local First business community.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie.
And I'm Dave Christie. From blown fuses to power outages to remodels, Direct Electric will fix your electrical problems. And Direct Electric will do it right the first time at the right price with no service charge. Listen.
I'm Gretchen from Woodstock's Pizza. It's the best pizza in town. We were having problems with some of our electric stuff in our store, and we heard that they are a great business, so we gave them a call. They fixed our problem. They responded immediately, and we were really happy with the work that they did for us. We are friends for life.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric.
If you are in real trouble, ask for Direct Electric's 60-minute emergency service. Direct Electric, that's the name. Service and quality, that's what's in the name. Direct Electric, 425-1407, 425-1407.
Hi, everyone. It's MZ. Last year at this time, I put out a sincere request for listener help in raising funds to pay our annual FCC license regulatory fees. The response was immediate and gratifying. We raised the entire $6,900 and a little extra in about 3 weeks, mostly in contributions of $10, $25, and $100. The largest single amount was $600. The lowest was $5, but all help was appreciated regardless of the amount. But my gosh, how fast the year went by. The bad news is that it's time to pay these government fees again or risk losing our broadcast licenses. The good news, however, is these fees did not go up as they normally do each year. So if you've been thinking about helping your favorite radio station with a contribution, however large or small, now would be a perfect time to act on that kind thought. The easiest way would be to go to KSCO.com and click on the Donate to KSCO via PayPal button at the bottom center of the home page. But you can also mail a check to or drop by our studios at 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. Please help if you can. But even if you can't, rest assured that KSCO will always be here for you to count on. It's our job. And according to most people I meet, we are both unique and highly appreciated. And all our efforts are made possible by your kind support.
With that big sound, it's gotta be KSCO.
It's time to hit the ground running for leukemia. Hey, sports fans, this is KO from KO Sports here on AM 1080 KSCO with an invitation for you to join me on a 13.1-mile half marathon run in the fight against leukemia. Oh, you don't actually have to run the Nike Women's Half Marathon to support the fight against leukemia. You can go to KSCO.com and log on to the KO Sports link to donate whatever you can to help the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society find a cure for cancer. Together, we can win this race.
Okay, we're in the home stretch of hour number two of the Saturday special with Doc Wallach and Ben Fuchs. You there, Ben?
Yes, sir.
I haven't said much, Ben, but I guess we've been given opportunity to listeners who really want to ask questions.
And, no worries.
Okay, next caller will be, well, let's bring Doc Wallach back and lock him in here. Saint in Hollister, you're on the Saturday special with MZ Ben and Doc.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, it's almost the afternoon. Maybe it is the afternoon where you are. I don't know. Is Hollister in a different time slot?
You have 8 minutes until your show's over.
Okay.
So that's the afternoon.
Yeah.
Question. Idiopathic kidney stones, and I'll take my answer on the air. Are they genetic, or what is the... urologists tell me they don't understand how they form.
Okay, well, you need to have your urologist call me. I'll tell him. It's actually written up in the book, Rare Earths Bin Cures. I've written a dozen papers on this subject. I'm considered an international expert on kidney stones. They're actually caused by...
Low calcium.
Exactly. Very good. They're
I'm not as stupid as I look.
They're caused by raging osteoporosis, and it's called nutritional secondary hyperparathyroidism. It has nothing to do with genetics, and your kidney specialist should have his license taken away from him for saying, I don't know what causes the disease I'm supposed to be an expert in, right? So if he doesn't know how to treat what he's an expert in, he shouldn't be an expert anymore. It's very simple. You would take, of course, the essential nutrients in optimal amounts, except for the calcium. You want it for 90 days. You want to take double or triple the amount with some extra vitamin D3. And then after that, as the blood calcium drops, and usually when you have kidney stones, your blood calcium is very high. It should be between 8.5 and 10.5 milligrams per deciliter, which is per 100 mLs. And when you have kidney stones, it's usually up around 12 or 14. And the first thing medical doctors want to do is surgically remove your parathyroids and tell you to stop eating calcium, which just both of those are the wrong things to do. Again, you take the 90 essential nutrients, you get rid of gluten out of your diet, you salt your food, you might even want to supplement with our ultimate enzymes, which has the stomach acid in it, so you can be assured to absorb calcium efficiently. And you can't get rid of the kidney stones that you have with that, but it will prevent new ones from forming. How you get rid of the ones you have, it's a great little herbal formula using things like celery and asparagus, and acidify your urine with things like...
Lots of lemon.
Very good. Lots of lemon juice. And they will slowly, over time, etch and go away.
Yeah.
And so it's a very simple disease. And, of course, that's because doctors only get 30 minutes of nutritional training in 17 years of school between their pre-med, their medical school, and their residencies. They only get 30 minutes of nutrition. They have no earthly idea that there's 900 different diseases they are treating as genetic and autoimmune diseases that are really just simple nutritional deficiency diseases.
We have to really step up the pace here. We got two more callers and less than four minutes left here. So here's Craig in San Jose with Doc Wallach. Go ahead, and Pharmacist Ben. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Michael. Ever since you told me I looked old, I've been taking my minerals. Now I feel 10 years and look 10 years younger.
Okay.
I even threw out my Viagra bottle.
All right.
Hey. I've been reading over the years something about gangrene, how regular table sugar can actually cure and get rid of gangrene. Is there any truth to that, Doc?
Okay, well, table sugar historically was used when people have things like hemorrhoids or ulcers that won't heal from diabetes. And if you have ulcers, then people might call that gangrene. Sometimes you have infections that won't go away, chronic infections. You can take a handful of table sugar and put on there. And the sugar will dehydrate the bacteria. They just dehydrate the bacteria and kill them by dehydrating because it creates an osmotic gradient. And it's an old treatment for edema, for ulcers. I mean, I'm talking about skin ulcers that won't heal. They're secondary to other diseases like circulation problems and so forth. And so it's an old-timey treatment, old home remedy that does work for certain things. And when there's an infection involved, it works by dehydrating the bugs.
But you've never seen or heard it actually... do gangrene, where they just cut the wound.
Well, I have never used it with gangrene, but I have used it when I was out in farms with livestock, and that's all we had. You could just take some sugar and put it on a wound that was chronically infected, and it would go away.
I think they should call it not gangrene, but gang black.
Because
it's not green,
that
it's
sounds
black.
Pretty. That sounds pretty yucky, Michael.
I know. Well, green is pretty yucky, too. Okay, Craig. Hey, thanks for your call. Bill in Wattsville, you're going to be the last caller on the Saturday special today. Go ahead.
Hey, Doc. How you doing? And Michael.
Okay,
with
Ed.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, I think you should change your moniker from the mineral doctor to the health engineer, and I'll tell you why. I was talking with a fellow the other day extolling the virtues of health through nutrition, how doctors treat symptoms and don't look to the underlying cause. And he said, well, that makes sense because my training is as an engineer. He says, so if you have a building and the rafter comes loose, he says, a doctor is going to climb up there and fix the rafter and be done with it. He says, but my training as an engineer has me asking, why did that rafter come loose in the first place?
So I
think you should change your moniker.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, right. And I have a quick question. I have a friend who's getting ready to have 6 inches of his intestine taken out because he has diverticulosis.
Oh, don't let him do that.
Well, I told him not to, but I think he's kind of blew me off. Maybe he'll listen to you.
Yeah, well, have him call on the Dead Doctors Don't Lie show.
Yeah, weekdays 12 noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time.
Will do.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay,
and thank you very much, Doc and Ben. Phone number again, if you want to order any of Doc's books or tapes or CDs or anything, is area 800, toll-free number, 800-755-4656. If you can't, if you don't have something to write with, you could probably remember my email address, mz@ksco.com. Shoot me an email. I'll put you in touch with Wellness Publications. So, I guess that's it almost. We have about a minute left. Ben?
Doc, real quick, do people have to worry about the FDA moving to limit supplementation?
Well, they've been trying to do that since the 40s, and that's why I was a member of the National Health Federation, and over 25 years it took me and a guy by the name of Clinton Miller, we actually got the Deshaies Law passed, which says that we can have vitamins and minerals, and we can actually get the what's called structure function claims. You know, for instance, with the program for diabetes, we can say that the Mighty 90 plus the Sweeties will support and promote healthy carbohydrate and sugar metabolism at the cellular level and support and promote healthy blood sugar levels. We can't say we'll cure the disease, so we're limited, but we're pretty much protected. And if people stop using pharmaceuticals, the pharmaceutical companies will go away. The reason why they're making trillions of dollars is because people continue to use them.
Okay, that's it, gang. Want to thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you, MC.
Hey, thank you, Ben. Thank you, Michael. Good night, Jim Bob.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange says he expected, quote, dirty tricks after his whistleblower website posted thousands of secret Afghan war documents. And he says the rape and molestation charges against him lodged by Swedish prosecutors are without basis. And on the rape charge, the prosecutors now agree withdrawing the arrest warrant on that charge and saying the accusation was unfounded. However, they say they haven't made a decision yet on the validity of the separate molestation accusation. Assange's whereabouts are unknown. Iranian and Russian engineers are loading fuel into Iran's first nuclear power plant, which Russia helped build and for which it's providing the fuel. Iran is calling this the largest symbol of the country's peaceful nuclear activities. Others worry about a possible link to bomb making. Before the broken BP well can be plugged for good by way of that so-called bottom kill procedure, BP's going to have to remove the failed blowout preventer from the Gulf Sea floor. This by order of the U.S. government, since that piece of equipment is key evidence for federal investigators looking for the cause of the Deepwater Horizon explosion that killed 11 workers. Meantime, no deepwater drilling underway in the Gulf, and there's word the feds knew a month and a half ago what the effect of that would be.
Federal government documents show more than 23,000 workers are being hit in the wallet by the moratorium on deepwater drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. A memo from the nation's top drilling regulator says the six-month moratorium is putting over 9,000 people out of work. It also suggests 14,000 more are indirectly affected. The ban was installed after the Deepwater Horizon rig exploded in April, killing 11 people. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
In Egypt, the culture ministry says a painting, Vincent van Gogh's The Poppy Flower, has been stolen from the Mahmoud Khalil Museum in Cairo. That's home to one of the Middle East's finest collections of 19th and 20th century art. The Van Gogh is worth $50 million. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore. Encore.
Actress Melissa Sue Anderson is revealing what went on behind the scenes in her new book, The Way I See It, a look back at my life on Little House. Let's start at the beginning. Pa was Michael Landon, who had played Little Joe on Bonanza for many, many years. People thought that he was just fantastic. You thought in the beginning he was dreamy. Mm-hmm. What was he like in real life, Michael Landon?
Well, yes, he was like a big brother to me, but he, of course, like any big brother, would have his good
you know, qualities and his not so good qualities. But you know, he was insecure and he was a great guy deep down, a great guy.
We get the name of the book, As I See It, because Mary, that character, was blind. And people
right.
actually
Thank you.
Wrote to you thinking that you were blind in real life.
That I had gone blind, and that the producers, how nice of them, had written it in. Yeah, it was really huge, huge compliment. You know, yeah. I couldn't get over it.
That's well, some good acting.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
The vacationing Barack Obama asking Republicans to join Democrats in an effort to take on that recent Supreme Court decision that allows unlimited corporate donations in elections.
President Obama's weekly address attacked Senate Republicans for blocking efforts to disclose unlimited corporate donations in federal elections, a measure to identify the source of some corporate donations narrowly passed the House but is languishing in the Senate. Obama blamed the GOP.
The only people who don't want to disclose the truth are people with something to hide.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell called the Obama-backed bill a transparent attempt to reg the November elections for Democrats by discouraging corporate donations. Democrats, McConnell said, are sending a clear message to the American people that their jobs aren't as important as the jobs of embattled Democratic politicians. Traveling with the president in Martha's Vineyard, Major Garrett, Fox News Radio.
Hip-hop artist Wyclef Jean, now preparing to return to the U.S., his bid to run for president of Haiti denied yesterday over a residency problem. Unemployment still rampant nationwide. Georgia's jobless rate at 10%, a half point above the national average. But they say necessity is the mother of invention.
26-year-old Stephen Kars was laid off from AIG in the spring and decided to start his own popsicle business. He sells gourmet homemade popsicles such as plum granita, Mexican chocolate, and orange basil. In just the past few months, he's garnered thousands of followers and customers and even interest from investors. Another Georgia woman, Beverly Davis, says after losing her home to foreclosure earlier in the year, she took to baking a popular comfort food, selling her grandmother's old cornbread recipe in kits and batches of warm goodness. She plans to buy her home back in cash at the end of the month. In Atlanta, Elizabeth Pran, Fox News Radio.
Well, you've probably been hearing about the bed bug infestation in New York City. They were recently found in a movie theater near tourist-stuffed Times Square. Now the New York Daily News reports they've been found in the Empire State Building in an employee changing room. Problem said to be under control now. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned into KSTO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here for the weekend. This afternoon, it's going to be sunny a little later here with a high of 66. The west winds between 10 and 15 miles per hour. And then tonight, it looks like we're going to have a chance of drizzle after 11 p.m. It's going to be partly cloudy, low of 51. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, we're going to have partly cloudy skies, and it could be a little drizzly in the morning. It should clear up gradually and get a little sunny. High of 72, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And out on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 5 knots, increasing 10 to 15 knots this afternoon.